a number of different areas of life, and he kind of turns the expected way of living upside down, doesn't he? That's what the Sermon on the Mount does. It takes how people used to live and it flips it on its head. He talks about loving enemies, being committed to our partners, talks about anger, about the importance of prayer, about not judging others. He goes on, he lays out a blueprint of what a Jesus-centered life should look like. And right in the middle of that is a passage about not worrying. Yeah. He's laying out a Jesus-centered life, and a big part of that is do not worry. And you know what? The last couple of years since COVID have been absolutely defined by worry, haven't they? If you look in our society, we worried about the virus, and we worried about restrictions linked to the virus, and we worried about long-term effects after the virus on things like finance and education. And following on from that, we worried about Black Lives Matter. Here's my friend, you need a toilet?
No.
Oh, what do you want? Nothing, you want to join me and preach? Okay. We worried about energy crisis and rising bills. We worried about immigration and about politics. If we didn't have a problem with worrying before as a society, we most certainly do now. We're slowly becoming people who are defined by worry. But actually, Jesus tells us to push against that, doesn't he? Now, thinking about the word worry in our English language, it actually comes from a German word. Excuse my German, I don't speak any German, but it comes from a German word, Würgen. Okay? The word worry comes from a German word, Würgen, which literally means to choke or to strain. So when we're talking about worrying, we're talking about choking and straining. And when you think about it, that's quite an accurate description of worry, isn't it? Because that's what worry does. Interestingly, when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, he talks about some of the seed falling against the thorns, doesn't he? Falling against the weeds. And he says the seeds grow up, but then they're choked by the thorns. And as he goes on to explain the parable, he says that the seed represents people who hear his word, but then allow the worries of life to grow up and choke them, stops them from growing. That's what worry does. But in laying out a better way to live, when describing what following Jesus looks like, it's absolutely no wonder that Jesus addresses worry. See, Jesus calls us to live differently from the world, doesn't he? As Christians, we're called to live differently to the world. We're called to stand out and be different. And in a world which is so crippled by anxiety and by worry, it's easy to let that rub off on us as people. But Jesus tells us to live differently. He says we're to be different to the world around us. So let's look at what his advice is for dealing with worry, all right? I've got three things for you really quickly, I promise. The first thing Jesus tells us to do is he reminds us who our master is. So when it comes to dealing with worry, our first bit of advice is to remember who our master is. You see, the start of this passage that we read begins with the word therefore. Alright, and when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you have to work out what it is.
Therefore.
Therefore. Fantastic, you're all still awake, that's always a good sign. So to find out what it is therefore, we read backwards in our Bible and we see what it says. Alright, and if we look back earlier in this chapter, before this little section on worry, we see Jesus teaching on money. Alright, he's following on from a passage about money and possessions. And he sums all of that teaching up about money and possessions by saying in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Yeah, it says that before, this passage just comes just before it. He says, no one can serve two masters. And with that in mind, we come to the next section, which is teaching on worry. So Jesus is saying, therefore, If God is your master, if you pick God as your master, then I tell you, do not worry. Yeah? So he's saying, if God's your master, do not worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Don't worry about the things of this world that concern you. Actually, pick your master. The concerns of this world will weigh you down. Material things will weigh you down. Don't let those things be your master. Don't worry about where your next paycheck's going to come from, or how you're going to be able to afford this new car, or whatever else that you're doing. Or your son sticking stickers on you while he's trying to preach. Don't worry about material things. I'm going to see some parenting 101 here, see if I'm good at it, if you listen to me. Actually, Jesus said, those material things, money and possessions, they aren't your master. Yeah, the things of this world aren't your master, but your master is God. God is the one that you submit to. He has all of your cares in his hands. That's why it tells us later on in scripture to cast our cares onto him. So Jesus' first bit of advice says, do not worry. Why? Because we've rejected that master, haven't we? We've rejected that master. We rely on God now. Worrying about material things is like saying our life is just about material things. When we actually, as Christians, know life is about much more than that, isn't it? It's about walking in step with God. So that's our first advice. Remember who your master is. The second thing he tells us to do is to remember what our value is. Okay, remember what our value is. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store up in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. See, Jesus is telling us to use some sense. I like it when Jesus does that. He tells us to use some common sense. He says, take your head out of your worrying for a second. Take your head out of your anxiety for a second and look at the birds. Look at creation. And you've got a lot of birds in Mask, haven't you? You've got a lot of seagulls. Have you ever seen a bird worrying? No, you haven't. Of course you haven't. Like, birds don't fly around and say, oh no, where's my next chip's going to come from? I'm going to steal from a tourist. Or, you know, where's my next? They don't do that. They just get on with their lives and do things that birds do, don't they? Like, imagine them looking at us and thinking, what are you doing? There's a famous poem, I want to read it to you. It says, you've probably heard it, it says this. I've got the words coming up. This is a poem, it says, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. Makes you think, doesn't it? And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. Look carefully at what Jesus says. He says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you see that? He doesn't say, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. He says, no, no, your heavenly Father feeds them. Because birds aren't known and loved by God. They're not made in his image. They aren't his prized possession. You are. We are. We are the ones that God loved so much that he came and died on a cross for. He gave up everything. He paid the ultimate price for us. We are his. So if these birds who aren't his get fed every day and don't need to worry, how much better will it be for us? That's what Jesus is saying. We need to remember how valuable we are to God. In case you need to hear this again, let me say it clearly. You are valuable to God. He cares about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the deepest depths of your heart, and yet he still chooses to be mindful of you. Isn't that amazing? He gives you a way to access him through Jesus. isn't it? If we can grasp just how valuable we are to God, then approval from other people is simply meaningless. And so many of our worries of life come from seeking approval of other people and seeing how other people think about us. But actually, in comparison to God's value of you, it doesn't matter what people think. We shouldn't worry what people think. That's the antidote of worry. And the thing is, this is a message for us as Christians about not worrying, but it's also a message for the world. This is a message that the world needs to hear. Society, as we've said at the beginning, is worrying so much, it's burdened by worry, it's weighed down by worry. But we've got a message which is different. And that's a message that we take to the world. We let people know that they're valued by God, and therefore they don't need to worry. So we remember who our master is, we remember what our value is, and finally we seek him first. And this is a really good point. Look at verse 32 on which Jesus says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And that's really interesting, because Jesus is saying, you should know better than worrying. He says the pagans run after these things. The pagans worry about these things, these material things. But you're people of God. You should know better than running after material things and worrying about day-to-day things. And we often get tripped up when it comes to worrying by looking at ourselves. We take our eyes off God and we focus on the situation that we're in. That's what we do when we worry, don't we? We take our eyes off God and we look just at our situation. I heard it described once as spinning in circles. When we worry, we spin and we spin and we end up losing clarity. We end up disorientated and all of our focus and energy comes on trying to get ourselves back on track. And when we do that, we leave no space for God. Everything becomes about us, about our situation, about the thing that we're worrying about, when really it should be the opposite. It should be seeking his kingdom first. It's really important. We need to be people as Christians who look to God. We don't look to our situation. And what's the natural response to looking to God? Well, when we look to God, we worship, don't we? We worship. When we look to God, we can't help but worship. Listen, this is a really important thing to say. Worship is literally worrying in reverse. Let me tell you what I mean. When we worry, we start with our situation, don't we? We start with our situation and we spin out of control. But when we worship, we start with God and it leads us to clarity. Worrying starts with our situation, but worship starts with God, and with God comes clarity. We need to be people who worship. We need to be people who seek him. We need to be people who focus on him and seek his kingdom. That's the opposite of worry. That's what God would call us to do. I know this is a changing season for you as a church. I've been speaking to John recently about changing season, changing leadership. In the midst of that change and uncertainty, you need to look to God. Fix your eyes on him. The Apostle Paul echoes Jesus' writing. The Apostle Paul writing from his prison cell in the book of Philippians. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." This is the best bit. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Do you see that? Don't be anxious. Don't look at your situation and worry, but instead pray to God. Look to him. Start with thanksgiving and worship, and the result of that is peace. And we all need some peace, don't we? We all need peace rather than worry. What an amazing truth. Listen, I'm nearly done, but I'm going to go back to our passage really quickly just to see one final warning from Jesus. See, we don't want to trust what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying that all of your hardships will disappear as long as you don't worry about them. That's not what he's saying. That's really important to say. It's not like he's offering us a massive carpet to sweep all of our worries under and forget about them and they'll all disappear. No, no, he says the opposite. He says each day has trouble of its own. You will face hardship. You will face troubles. House sales will fall through. Towns will get smashed up. So yes, we'll face troubles, but as Christians, we handle our troubles with God. We don't go about trying to fix them on our own. One of my favourite passages of scripture, I'm going to end with Lamentations 3:22, says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Listen, I want you to just remember this last bit. Yes, we'll face troubles. Yes, we'll face hardships. Yes, we'll face uncertainty, but God is all we need. God is all we need, and his mercies are new every morning. This might resonate with you in different ways. Different people here today will be hearing this message differently. Listen, worry and anxiety is common, and that's why Jesus addresses it. It is common, we're all going to face it. But we've got a choice to make. Do we focus on our worries, or do we focus on God? Do we remember who our master is? Do we remember what our value is? Do we choose to worship? That's a choice I want to challenge you with today. So let me pray and I believe we're going to worship to finish, if that's okay. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you understand, Lord, you understand what we're going to go through as people, Lord. I thank you that in laying out your way of living in Sermon on the Mount, Lord, you address this issue of worry, Lord, because you know that we're going to be people who deal with this, God. But I pray, Lord, that each of us here would make the choice, Lord, not to focus on our worries, Lord, but rather would remember who our Master is, Lord, and would look to you. I pray, Lord, we would be defined as people who worship before we worry, Lord. As we look around the world around us and we see different things going on, and we remember things that have happened wider in society, God, I just pray that our default reaction would, rather than be worry, God, would be to lift our eyes up to you and ask you to come. God, because we know that you've got the answer, God. So, Father God, we want to say sorry for the times that we've focused on our situations, and we want to choose to be people who look to you. That's the way we do our work, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.